Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I received one of those GPS devices for this as a Christmas gift this past year. It's an amazing tool, completely eliminating the need for roadmaps. Because it is in constant communication with a satellite, it knows where you are at all times. You just need to input where you want to go. And you can program a GPS to choose a route with more highways or more back roads, shorter distance, the shortest one that can be found, or the fastest. You can look for routes that have fewer tolls, less traffic. You can try to even avoid construction that's going on. Once you tell it where to go, it calculates the route and begins to give step-by-step instructions to your destination. In fact, my GPS shows a checkered flag when you get to your destination. It provides voice commands. So it's not necessary to look at the device as you drive. And if an instruction is ignored, the GPS simply recalculates the route and gives new directions. It has a woman's voice. Samantha is her name. And my GPS has a couple of curious habits about it. It gives an instruction, very clear instruction, very detailed instruction, and then just before you get to the turn, it repeats the instruction every time, as if I'm incapable of remembering to do what it told me. That's the way Samantha is. I find myself getting upset at the GPS. The other habit it has is when it can't easily recalculate the route. Samantha matter-of-factly commands, perform a U-turn when possible. And she keeps repeating it every few seconds. I have actually told the GPS to be quiet. But you know, I'm learning very slowly at times, that my GPS has my best interest in its plans, keeping me on course. And guess what? When I cooperate, Samantha guides me right to the desired destination. Well, you know, God has given the Holy Spirit to be like a GPS in your spiritual life. He knows where you are at all times. He has himself decided where you are going to join him in glory. He plans the best route to get there based on his purposes. He guides you step by step all the way to your destination. And he recalculates the route when you ignore his instructions in sin. He calls you to make a U-turn when you're tempted to go off course. And he's ready to wave a checkered flag when you finally get there. Jesus provided an example of following God's GPS, the Holy Spirit, throughout his life, right up to the point of his death on the cross. The Apostle Paul referred to this when he said in his letter to the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus,
who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There's a whole lot that we can talk about when considering the last word of Christ from the cross. The focus of my thoughts is on the complete control Jesus demonstrated in life and in death. Having fulfilled all things regarding his earthly ministry, he placed his spirit in his Father's care. The last act of Jesus' life reflected his whole life, a perfect confidence in God and a complete dependence upon him. The Lord trusted the Father with his life when he came as a vulnerable baby, and he maintained that trust even in death. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What an act of faith. What an act of faith. By the way, why did Jesus use a loud voice? I believe that was simply to make sure that everyone there was paying attention when he gave up his spirit by his own divine power. First of all, Jesus died with God's word on his lips. He died with God's word on his lips as he quoted the fulfillment of David's prophecy from Psalm 31, verse 5. He had his focus on the Father until the very end of his ministry. What an example for you and for me. Another thing, he called God his Father. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It wasn't too long ago, just moments before, when he cried out in desperation. And he said, my God, my God. Which is a wonderful thing, recognizing his God. But as he reached the end, giving up his life for you and for me, he once again called him Father. What an example for us of always returning to the intimacy of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He also demonstrated a trust in the resurrection, that the Father would indeed reunite his spirit with his body. He placed his spirit in the Father's hands to be taken into paradise and then returned on the third day. Jesus also gave us an example that we should be concerned about our soul in death. We must have a trust in the Lord to care for us after we die by trusting in the Lord to save us before we die. And let me ask you this question. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Savior? Romans chapter 3 in verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, the sinners before God. Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. John quoted Jesus in writing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God demonstrates his own love toward us. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved?